The topic of artificial intelligence can be discussed from a number of viewpoints, including philosophically, technically, and theologically. Our guest today, Dr. John Lennox, can address AI from all of these views. We will continue our discussion with Dr. Lennox in a minute on Mind Matters.
Welcome to Mind Matters, where artificial and natural intelligence meet head-on. Here's your host, Robert J. Marks.
Greetings. Ranging from use to future impact, the Bradley Center for Artificial and Natural Intelligence unapologetically embraces a Judeo-Christian perspective concerning the analysis of high technology. We have been talking with Dr. John Lennox, and this is the second podcast. If you haven't listened to the first podcast yet, please do so. You'll get an introduction to Dr. Lennox. You will get the first part of our discussion, and it will lay a better foundation for what we're going to talk about. Dr. Lennox, welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be back with you.
It is good. We were talking about your presentation that you made for RZIM on what we should think about AI. We ended up last time talking about the juxtaposition of materialistic AI with the Christian faith, and you made the point that AI is attempting to gain a superintelligence and. In Christianity, we already have that with God. God is a superintelligence. Kind of following on that, is the following question. Materialistic AI enthusiasts think they can download themselves into a digital copy and therefore achieve immortality. From a Christian viewpoint, the AI goal of immortality is also behind the times and terms of the Christian faith. You brought this point out in your lecture. Could you elaborate on this a little bit?
Yes, again, it's very interesting to see how many parallels there are to the desires of some people in the AI community to preserve themselves after death. And the idea is that they can somehow download themselves digitally, whatever that means, to download a self. Nobody has told me what that has meant. But the fascinating thing is that the central gospel of Christ is that if we trust him as Lord, then we receive his life. And that life, the New Testament calls eternal life. And we receive it when we trust Christ. But it doesn't end at death because it is eternal. So the promise that's made to Christians in the New Testament is that this mortal body, which we inhabit at the moment, will put on immortality. And therefore, the going beyond death and surviving death, not only surviving it, but having a positive existence, an even more glorious existence in the future, is something that is guaranteed to the Christian through trusting Christ. It doesn't depend on any notion of downloading ourselves onto silicon.
That's fascinating. I think from another perspective, at least from studying artificial intelligence, that everything that computers do is algorithmic. They all have a recipe of some way of doing things. There are those, including myself, that believe humans have the ability to do things which are non-algorithmic. And non-algorithmic phenomena have been clearly demonstrated in computer science. What about people? We have consciousness, we have sentience, we have creativity. I don't think any of these are algorithmic. I don't think any of these can be programmed. And so therefore, if we were to download ourselves, if indeed that were possible, I think we would lose all of the things that make us human, all of the non-algorithmic things, including our spirituality. So
that could well be. And it's interesting that one of our most famous mathematicians here in Oxford, Sir Roger Penrose, he argues very strongly that human beings can do things that are non-algorithmic, and therefore they cannot possibly be replicated by a Turing machine or a computer. And I think there's a lot of mileage in that.
It's fascinating. Now, Roger Penrose, and by the way, I read both of his books, Shadows of the Mind and The Emperor's New Mind, and that really influenced me towards this perspective. Even though he is agnostic or atheist, I believe.
And he's a humanist. He calls himself a humanist.
Yes. Okay, I don't know what a humanist is. Is that like an atheist or an agnostic?
Well, he's essentially an atheist, as far as I understand it.
Okay. Well, he believes that the creativity, these non-algorithmic things, happen in our microtubules, in our brain, at the quantum level, because he was looking for anything in the universe that was not algorithmic. And the only thing that he came up with was the collapse of the wave function. And what happens during that period where a wave function collapses from quantum space into a deterministic world? And so he's looking now for quantum effects and microtubules to explain this creativity. That's the materialistic viewpoint. So, I don't know. I think the jury is still out on that, but that's just, I don't know. All of this fascinates me. And I was really influenced by Penrose's work. Following this up, I have a philosophical question for you. Do you watch Star Trek at all, the early Star Treks?
I fear not.
You fear not. Well,
I never was interested in that kind of science fiction. And what I have noticed in the very little I understand of it, it creates a kind of imaginative universe, which again has got parallels to the biblical message, you know, the idea of God being the force and so on. But I never bothered watching it because I see many people who have adopted those concepts of God almost without thinking about it. So they refer to the God of the Bible even as a force, and that's very dangerous because we being persons are superior to forces. We use forces. And so there's a great danger in thinking of God as some kind of spiritual electricity that is available to us rather than, in the biblical sense, God is the Almighty God, and we should make ourselves available to Him. But that's just my own personal take on this.
Well, I think the early Christians certainly didn't tap into that power and be able to zap people. Yes. In fact, the earlier Christians, the apostles, most of them died very horrible deaths in defending the gospel. So there wasn't that empowerment. There wasn't the force with them, at least at their deaths. So that sort of thing doesn't happen.
Well, they believed in the power of God's Spirit, but they didn't believe that God was in their hands to use as some kind of magic. That's the point.
Yeah, okay, understood. You quoted in your lecture Leon Cass, who says, I like this quote, if we see ourselves as meat, then meat shall we become. It's kind of like the Proverbs, a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if we think we're meat, we shall become meat. You could replace this with bits. If we see ourselves as bits, then bits shall we become. Yet some atheists, they claim to be happy without the gospel, without Christianity or any other faith. And the possibility of being a computer made of meat doesn't seem to bother them. What's the deal there? Do you think they're being honest?
Well, I think that if we were computers made of meat, we wouldn't know it, in the sense that, again, consciousness would be a huge barrier to this. And as for people being happy without the gospel, it seems to me that's a very superficial analysis. The question of happiness, in one sense, is not primary. It's very far down the list. For me, the main concern is the gospel true? Is this a true analysis? And I have, as I've written in many places and lectured, I feel that atheism actually undermines the whole of rationality. And atheist scientists, as well as Christians who are scientists, we all need to rely on our rationality to do science. And I think atheism undermines that by telling us that our rationality is either produced by computers made of meat and they came to exist by mindless, unguided processes. I don't find that a very convincing account of the origin of rationality, to be frank.
I agree with you also. I think that the further one gets into apologetics and the understanding of Christianity, the more faith it takes to become an atheist. In fact, I think Frank Turek wrote a book of that title, where he actually goes in and talks about the faith that is required to be an atheist. And it's you got to swallow a lot of stuff to do that. Let's see, you made a great statement in your talk, which I thought I'd like to hear more about. You said that God links intelligence and consciousness, AI separates them. Could you elaborate on that and what that means?
Certainly. The first part of the statement, God links intelligence and consciousness, is based on the description of the creation of human beings in Genesis. He makes beings who are intelligent and conscious. They're able to talk to God, they're able to talk to one another, and so on. But you see, AI is intelligence without consciousness. There is a wonderful elderly professor who lives in retirement in Atlanta, who turned up at my lecture, marvelous. He wrote a paper in 1985, which I really loved for its title particularly. The title was "The Artificial in Artificial Intelligence is Real." And the point of that title is that this is machines. They are not conscious.
I believe in your talk, you referenced that to Ray Mellencamp.
I did indeed. That's correct.
Okay, yes.
And he was there.
Oh, okay.
And he came up and spoke to me afterwards. And the point is that here are these computers, say, analyzing x-rays and so on. They're not aware of what they're doing at all. But what they're doing is something that would normally take a highly intelligent human being to do. And it's in that sense that AI separates intelligence, in appearance at least, from consciousness. The machines are not conscious, but they appear to be intelligent. Of course, they're not intelligent.
Very good. Again, we're running out of time. Let me invite you to a third podcast, if you're willing to. We'll keep it short, but I think that there's still some interesting things to talk about. Is that okay?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you. We've been talking to Dr. John Lennox about a Christian perspective on artificial intelligence. And we'll be back for a third podcast on Mind Matters. Until then, be of good cheer.
This has been Mind Matters with your host, Robert J. Marks. Explore more at mindmatters.ai. That's mindmatters.ai. Mind Matters is directed and edited by Austin Egbert. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the speakers. Mind Matters is produced and copyrighted by the Walter Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence at Discovery Institute.